good to see everyone here once again this week. Hope everyone had a good week and didn't get too wet or washed away or anything. God has given us a lot of promises in the Bible. I did a quick Google search when I was getting ready for this sermonette, and one result said that there's over 3,000 promises in the Bible. Another result said that there was 3,573 promises in the Bible. That's according to BibleInfo.com. Not exactly sure how correct that is, but it's probably not too far off. I'm sure there's over 3,000 promises in the Bible. Think about God's promises in relation to the recent fall holy days. We remembered that Christ has promised to return to this earth and resurrect the saints in the Feast of Trumpets. We remembered that Christ has promised to bound up Satan during the Day of Atonement. We remember that Christ has promised to establish his kingdom on earth during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we remembered that Christ will offer salvation to every human being that has ever lived and died on the eighth day. So the fall holy days alone, we consistently review some of God's promises on an annual basis. We cherish them as a church, and we look forward to them collectively during the fall holy day season. But how often throughout the year do we search out God's promises? How often do we look to God's promises in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our Bible study and meditations? And how personal are God's promises to us? Today I would like to talk about how God's promises can be useful and pertinent to our personal lives. The title of today's sermonette is Standing on the Promises of God. And now, admittedly, that is taken from an old hymn that we've had in various hymnals. I don't think it's in our current one, and it's in other organizations' hymnals, but I thought it was appropriate for this sermonette. Standing on the Promises of God. God's promises are awesome and wonderful. I don't believe his promises are supposed to be something that we're just supposed to think about in a church organization setting on holy days alone. With over 3,000 promises in the Bible, there are plenty of his promises that we can use to bolster our faith in our walk with God on a daily basis. For example, a lot of us have had our fair share of rain over the last few weeks, even here in West Texas. I know we get every drop we can possibly take, but seeing the clouds and rain hit over and over has gotten kind of monotonous. So I know quite a few people who are done with the rain. We've got some friends down south. I know some people were concerned about what the rain might do to their property, their community, and their lives because they got a lot more rain than we did. So this might be a good time for some people that have been overwhelmed by the rain over the last few weeks to remember Genesis 9. That's where God promised that he wouldn't wipe out all the creatures of the earth or humanity with a flood. That can be a comforting thought right now when God promises to focus on the fact that he won't wipe out humanity with a flood when you've had rain for weeks on end. A couple of personal examples I'll go over. Many of you know that I work with and around rivers at my job. Sometimes I have to work near rivers that are raging. Last week I got to work around some swollen rivers. And I like that. It's fun and exciting. But there is a danger factor involved when you're around rivers in those conditions. I personally take comfort in the promise given in Isaiah 43, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it right quick. But Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you." I take that as a personal promise that God will protect me when I'm working around swollen rivers. Now I know it has to fall within his will for our lives, and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, that his will be done, regardless whether God delivers us from certain circumstances or not. But Isaiah 43 is a promise that I can use to hold on to bolster my faith when I'm working around those swollen rivers. Many of you also know that we've been bouncing around from place to place as we wait on our permanent house to be ready. I've been whining about that every time I've been up here so far. But there's a psalm that has a promise in it that I take comfort in, during this time, and that's Psalms 127, verse 2, where God says that he gives sleep to his beloved. So I don't have to worry about where I'm going to lay my head. I trust God that he will provide that sleep and that comfort for us from Psalms 127, verse 2. And thankfully, there's a lot of warm-hearted people in this congregation who have made plenty of nice offers and taken care of us here locally. So I can rely that God will deliver on Psalms 127, verse 2 as a promise that I don't have to worry about sleep. Our family has plenty of generous offers out there, and we appreciate what you guys have done for us in this congregation. So I'll just remember Psalms 127, verse 2, and I won't worry about where I'm going to sleep. But with our present, So how about you? What promises of God are in the Bible that are appropriate to you and what trials you're going through? I bet there's a promise in there with over 3,000 promises that is somewhat relevant to you in your trial and your phase of life right now. If you haven't looked yet, I invite you to do so. You see, promises of God are very special. They're special because no one can reverse what God plans. No one can reverse his will. Because there is no God like our God. Let's read about that in Isaiah 43. Will everyone please turn to Isaiah 43 and verse 10? We'll read verses 10 through 13 here. And this is God talking to the nation of Israel. You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hands. I work, and who will reverse it? We see here in verse 13 that whatever God's work and purpose is, no one can reverse it. He exists before the day does. So whatever he plans is what's going to come to fruition. You don't have to turn there, but let me read you some other scriptures that will show God's will stands. Psalms 33 and verse 11 states, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Psalms 135 verse 6 states, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth and the seas and all the deep places." Proverbs 19 verse 21 states, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." See, God's promises are a part of his counsel. If he makes a promise, he sticks to it. He cannot lie. Let's turn to another scripture that shows how God's counsel stays once he proclaims it. Will everyone please turn over a few chapters to Isaiah 46? And we'll read Isaiah 46, verses 5 through 11. "To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves, yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulders, they carry it and set it in place, and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. So we see here that God is not comparable to idols. What he says, he brings to pass, and idols are nothing. Promises are of God are declarations of what he stated. If you can find a promise of God that's appropriate for your life and your circumstance and fits according to your will, then you can and should have faith in God to deliver you on that promise because his counsel stands and he brings to pass what he says. He is the faithful and true one. There's actually something very interesting about this passage. Look at verse 11. Let's reread it. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I have spoken it. That is actually, as scholars agree, a prophecy that talks about Cyrus overtaking Babylon, written years before the event actually happened. Listen to a commentary that was written about this passage in the UCG Bible Commentary Reading Program. This is from the commentary program for May 8th. One from the east refers to Cyrus, king of Persia. The conquest of Media by Cyrus made him master of the territories north of Babylon. Cyrus, who did not personally know God, nevertheless called God's name when he released the exiles. This is again from May 13th, talking about this passage. Continuing in Isaiah 46, Bel and Nebo are Babylonian deities. The reference to Cyrus and his victories over Babylon now brings to mind the feudal gods of that great civilization, Bel and Nebo. Babylon's defeat proves God's superiority, and what a different relationship he has with his people. Pagans carry their God. The Lord carries his people. Israel's incomparable God alone shapes and reveals the future, a future that holds salvation for her. How wonderful to have a God who holds us up rather than an idol we must lug around on our shoulders. The only true God is able to declare what will happen in the future and then bring it to pass. Incidentally, chapter 46 explains how God knows the future. It's not because the future already exists so that he is able to look forward in time. Rather, he declares what will be in verse 10, and in his omnipotence, he makes sure that that happens. Verse 11. So I thought that was very appropriate to this topic. Again, that was from the UCG Bible Reading Program, which is available online. God has made promises to humanity and to us, over 3,000 of them. His word and his purpose stand, and he alone can declare the end from the beginning, allowing him to deliver on those promises. Let's turn to a passage that talks about God's promises as they relate to us. Will everyone please turn to Hebrews 6? And we'll read in verse 13. We'll read verses 13 through 20 of Hebrews 6. I'm going to actually, you can follow along in your version, but I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. It's a modern, paraphrased version, and I think the Message Bible does a good job at getting to the heart of this passage in relation to God's promises with us. So starting in verse 13, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question that they make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock-solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. Verse 18, when we who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right into the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, is taking up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. We see here in this passage that we can grab a hold of the promised hope, the hope of salvation, since we have Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and High Priest. But I submit that we can not only grab a hold of the all-encompassing promise of salvation, but we can also grab a hold of the numerous 3,000 smaller promises that are found in the Bible that might be appropriate to whatever trial or phase you're going through in life. Promises that are specific to your very circumstance right now. Brethren, promises are found all throughout the Bible. Many of these are promises that are made by our Lord and Savior that are inappropriate for us right now. Once God declares a promise, his word cannot and will not be nullified. His word will stand. I invite all of us to search out the promises of God, to meditate on them, to use them in prayer and Bible study, and to rely on God to come through on his many promises for us. May we all stand on the promises of God.